First Timothy chapter 3 we'll be looking at and studying tonight. If we look at the outline, there'll be have some introductory remarks, then it talks about, well, this doesn't, but I've got some scriptures from other places that talk about the work of elders. We'll just use a few of those scriptures, maybe one to back up each of the thoughts that's presented. And then Roman numeral 3, the respect that is due elders, have a number of scriptures there. And then down to the qualifications of elders in that chapter. Then it talks about the qualifications of deacons, verses 8 through 10 and verse 12. Inserted in there is verse 11 in Roman numeral 6 on page 3. Talks about women or the wives. There's a difference of opinion among some as to who that's referring to, but most people, I think, believe it's the wife of a deacon, although others think that it could refer to any Christian woman who's involved in some capacity in the work of the church on a more official type basis, a teacher or someone heading up some other area. Then Paul's reason for writing, verses 14 and 15, writing this on this particular subject of this chapter. And then he talks about the mystery of our religion. Talks about everybody likes a mystery. So we'll look at that for just a few moments. But with so much material, I'm sure you want me to hit the highlights for you tonight. Probably in a class sometime we could study on subject matter, to study a particular subject like this in more detail. I don't want anybody to get a crick in their neck looking at the clock if I keep going on it. But anyway, the subject of the outline of 1 Timothy 3. There is a need for good leaders. There's always been a need for good leaders. As far as God's people are concerned. And they've always been leaders to some extent. Initially, if you go by dispensation, the patriarchal dispensation, the head of household was spoken to by God and led their house for God. In the patriarchal time, in Mosaic time, first of all, you have Moses being their leader, and then you had a group of Levites, the Levites themselves, the priests, with Aaron as their leader at first, who gave leadership. There were prophets, as time went on, who gave, begin with Moses, who gave leadership to some extent. But after the children of Israel got into the land of Canaan, They first had Joshua to be their leader, and then they appointed judges to lead them. And after that, they sought to be like the nations around them, and they asked to have a king. And throughout most of the Old Testament period, if not all the Old Testament period, the children of Israel, God's people, had kings in a leadership role. In the Christian age, where initially the apostles, who had been with the 12 of whom had been with Jesus throughout his ministry, and they were leaders of the early church. There was Apostle Paul and others who became apostles. In fact, Paul speaks of himself in 1 Corinthians 15 as one born out of due time. He wasn't one of the original 12, and yet he's spoken of as an apostle. Then there were remember, as Paul went on his missionary journeys, he appointed elders as he came back through many of the cities that he visited, where there were churches in existence as he came back. In 1 Timothy 3 here, and in Titus chapter 1, we read of the office of elders and the office of deacons. Servants who would do work that would allow the elders to continue to do the work that was set aside for them to do. So that's the leadership as far as the... Nowhere does the Bible speak of a pastor as being a preacher, although many people have a pastor as being an elder or being a pastors are elders because that's the Greek word would suggest it's one who tends the flock. The preacher was never referred to as a pastor in the Bible. But we're not getting into errors of preaching. I need to right now I'll stay out of that tonight. That's a subject for another day. Three words were employed in the New Testament for the word elder. Look with me at, in fact, I think we won't be able to see these words as such. If we had the Greek New Testament, I had Brother John here, he could pronounce them better than I do and refer you to them. But look at Acts 20 and verse 28. Paul spent 3 years in Ephesus, and evidently they had appointed elders at that time, I would think. Later he comes back through that area, stops in Miletus, and asks the elders from the city of Ephesus to come down and be with him. He wanted to speak to them and spend some time with them. So in verse 17, it says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." And referring to the leaders as elders, referring to more as to position of age, and is a Greek word that's either presbyteros or presbytera, that refers to an elder. It's a Greek word, and each time that Greek word appears, it's translated elder. So here in Acts 20 and verse 17, we have the word a presbyteros for elder right there or elders in verse 17. Look at verse 28 where Paul gives a warning to these same men. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers." There's another term for the leadership, overseers, and that's the word episcopus. And as we read in 1 Timothy 3, in verse 2, of 1 Timothy 3, the word bishop is used. It doesn't use the word elder. I'm gonna get you confused and we move from place to place, but there's something to think about. The word bishop means to oversee or superintend. So back in Acts 20:28, it says that these elders are overseers. Overseers is the word bishop or episcopus in the Greek. These are somewhat similar to a superintendent that you would have out on a job. Same type of idea, someone who oversees a work. Also in the same context, the same verse in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says that of which the Holy Spirit made you overseers to feed the church. There's a word feed there that also is translated shepherd, to shepherd the church of God. So you've got the bishop, you've got the word bishop, overseers, you got a shepherd, the feed, to feed the flock, and you got the word elders where one is older in age and experience as related to the church. Now, if we look at Titus, you say, well, how do you know bishop and elder refer to the same individual? Let's look at Titus 1. 1st and 2nd Timothy, and then Titus, James. Paul has sent Titus to Crete, and he says, I left you there to put things in order that are warning, and to ordain or appoint elders in every city. So he's appointing elders, Titus is, and then he gives some qualifications. If man be blameless, husband, one wife, having faithful children, not accused or right, unruly. Then he says in verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless. How do we get from elders to bishops? Well, we got there because he's talking about the same thing. So he uses the word as being interchangeable, but the function of an elder and a bishop would be somewhat different. As far as the work itself of that as coming from the meaning of that particular word, of use of that particular word. So we have presbyteros, episcopus is the word bishop. And then the word feed in Acts 20 and 28, which is the word shepherd, is another Greek word, P-O-Y-M-E-N. You don't have to remember those, but you might want to keep in the back of your mind Acts 20, 1 Timothy 3, and Titus 1 as being scriptures that you can go to learn more about the use of the word elder or the use of the word bishop or the use of the word shepherd. Now, the word shepherd doesn't appear here, but it appears in First Peter 5, verse 1, I believe. In fact, let's just look there real quick. If I go to all these scriptures, though, we'll be here at 7 o'clock. Y'all, this is your favorite show tonight, probably. But let's see what it says. First Peter 5. Peter speaks about it, and he speaks about it from experience. He says, the elders which are among you, 1 Peter 5, verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God. That's the use of the word shepherd. That's that Greek word poimen, P-O-I-M-E-N, which is among you, taking the oversight. That's the bishop. Being the bishop part of the job, being episcopus. Not by constraint, but willingly, not a filthy lucre, but a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. So he's talking about someone who is an overseer. And then he says, when the chief shepherd shall appear. So he contrasts Jesus as the chief shepherd, and these others, the elders, as those who feed the flock, as being under shepherds, so to speak. Same idea of feeding the flock of God, and the chief shepherd feeds the flock through his word, that being Christ. Now that I've totally confused you, we'll get back to some general scriptures. What is the work of the elder? Well, those three words indicate the works of an elder, but also if we look at Acts 20:28, we see that the work of an elder is in teaching, one of the works. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his blood. Then he talks about grievous wolves will enter in among the eldership, not sparing the flocks, and also of your own self. Well, will enter the flock itself. And of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember what he ceased not for 3 years to warn them about this time coming, these false teachers. And that's plain as we look at the B item, number two item under the work of elders, guard against false doctrine. There's the greatest guard for elders to perform, one of the greatest jobs, I suppose, in these days and times, is to keep people out of the pulpit who are going to lead the congregation astray. Whoever you got in your pulpit is the person who is teaching the congregation more than the elders usually, because the elders are not in the pulpit teaching. So the elders need to guard against who, you know, we wouldn't have all the congregations, or many of the congregations, a number of the congregations, going in different directions today if we didn't have elders who were there either leading them in these areas or allowing some preacher or teacher to come in and lead in the particular area. So Paul, as early as just a few years after the church was established, was seeing this as a problem, not a possible problem, but as a problem. And you think, well, all these apostles are still living, or a number of them would be. Why would they have these problems? Well, people are people. And in every generation, we've got those who will teach false doctrine, and we've got those who will accept it, and we've got those who are in leadership that will not keep it from occurring. 1 Peter 5, verse 2 and 3, work of elders to lead, guide, and admonish. 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3. I don't have it down, so I'll be turning to it here too. 1 Peter 5, we were there a while ago and read it. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. That's that idea of being an overseer. Not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre or gain, greed, but a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example. So we have that idea of being overseer, being to lead, to guide, to admonish. Also to minister to the needs of the flock. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 11 and 12. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So we'll have some more comments about that in just a moment. Look at the Roman numeral number 3, the respect that's due elders. We just read there from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll go back to that. Look at 12 and 13 this time. We beseech you, brethren, to know them. So that's one of the things we need to do. And that just doesn't mean Don and Phil, you know, the Everly brothers or whatever. That's why we usually say Don and Philip. We don't want to get people confused. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. We need to realize that that's one of the jobs that they have. And then look at verse 13. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. A lot of times, I've heard a congregation, they badmouth the elders or badmouth the preacher. If he's preaching the word, don't badmouth. If your elders are leading, they have a very responsible job. As we look at some other verses, we'll see that. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 7. Hebrews 13, verse 7. I see now I've got too many verses to go to. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Now this could be referring to possibly to the elders and to their teachers. But if we go on to verse 17, which we won't do at this time, we will on the next point. Just keep your hand at Hebrews 13. We're supposed to obey and submit to elders. Obey them that have the rule over you. We know we're talking about elders there. Those are the ones who are our guides. It says, that's a marginal reading. Obey them that guide and rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account. They may do it with joy, not with grief, for this is profitable for you. So elders have the opportunity to point out and to admonish us, any of us, when we are straying aside or when we when we're not perhaps growing as we should grow, point out things that would help us. That's why I point out to congregation, especially on Sunday morning, that the elders have set aside Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night for the congregation here, for the flock here in Woodbine, to come to the feed trough, so to speak. It's supposed to feed the flock, but you can't feed the flock if the folks don't show up when the feed is prepared and supplied. You know, that needs to be discussed more with folks. I was mentioning in Bible class this morning, we say, let the mind of Christ be in you, as Joe read this morning. But what if we don't thoroughly understand that? You know, if I don't thoroughly understand something that I read, what should I be doing? I should be reading it again, shouldn't I? And read something that other things that the same author said, the same source book, so to speak, and see what the Bible is saying around that and why it is that I'm not coming to a good understanding of a particular verse, or why it maybe doesn't mean much to me. I have more of an obligation to determine why that's so. Look at 1 Timothy 5:19. 1 Timothy 5:19. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. We need to be careful when we're talking about or speaking about an elder. or elders. Because we're not supposed to bring any type of accusation without some witnesses that a particular thing is so. And that probably would refer to our relationship to each other, to anyone, without proof, without someone there to witness it, more than one person. So do not receive accusation against elders. And look at 1 Timothy, we're still in 1 Timothy 5, look at verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Some elders evidently were not only doing the work of overseers, but they were also doing some preaching and teaching. And he says that they were worthy of double honor. And then as part of that double honor, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his hire. And this is not said about a preacher. This is said about an elder. We have some elders at congregations who are paid as elders. When they go beyond what maybe their normal functions and their normal job would be, I know the Madison Church of Christ had a full-time elder or two. And you can imagine a congregation that big being the treasurer there, for instance, or doing a lot of visiting. Most of the elders there couldn't visit every sick person of a congregation of 2,000 or 3,000. But there would be some who would be retired, otherwise able to visit that. So we've studied on the qualifications. We'll look at those fairly quickly. If you'll look again back at 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is true saying, if a man desire the office of bishop, he desires a good work. Tell you what we'll do. We'll continue this lesson at that point our next time together, because we're getting toward the time that I normally kind of slow down. There's a lot more information in these three pages. We just got down to two-thirds of the first pages. So hold on to this. Next Sunday night you'll be... That'd be fine. Okay, I'll preach next Sunday night, and Jerry will take it the following week, and we'll continue this study. You'll have an opportunity to read 1 Peter. Well, you can read 1 Peter 5, first few verses, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, Acts 20, verse 17 and 28. Just a few scriptures. We can have those in our mind. Somebody says, well, what do you think about the qualifications of elders? Whatever. You say, well, let's look at what the Bible says. And that's the best way to do it anyway. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not hearing what my opinion is, or hearing about what Jerry's opinion is. So the more we get into the word, the more we're going to get out of the word. That makes sense, doesn't it? The more we get into it, the more we get out of it. I appreciate you being here. Appreciate your attention tonight. If there's one here not a Christian, you have the opportunity now to come to Christ, confess your confess Christ as the Son of God, and repenting of your sins, be baptized. Those sins might be washed away, that they might be forgiven. Clean slate. And then to rise from baptism and walk as a new creature in Christ. As a Christian, if you desire our prayers tonight, wish to rededicate your life to Christ, you have that opportunity. As we stand and sing the song selected, shall we stand, please?